Before I come, you give the pre-share. Before I come, you give the pre-share.
We're talking about
Shidduchim. Shidduchim. What a topic. Okay, let's learn. It's not never a good topic to talk about. It never ends well. Topic of Shidduchim never ends well. Okay, let's learn. Let's learn Mishpatim Revi. Okay, we're up to Chamishi Revi Chamishi. Here we go. Okay. All right, so we're up to over here. Lo Sisa. We're up to new pasuk. Lo Sisa Shem Ashav. Okay, Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Aleph. Lo Sisa Shem Ashav. What does that mean? What does it mean? Lo Sisa Shem Ashav. It's a very unusual translation. It means don't accept Lashon Hara. This is one of the prime pisukim teaching us the prohibition to listen to Lashon Hara, slander. Okay, the word Sisa means to carry, right? To carry. Shem Ashav, Shem means a bad reputation. Al Toshas Yotcha Im Rasha Liyos Et Chamas. Then what does the next part of the pasuk have to do with the first part of the pasuk? What's the connection? Do not set your hand with a wicked person, Liyos, to be an Et Chamas, to be a witness of violence. What does that mean? Rashi pasuk Aleph. Lo Sisa Shem Ashav, Kitar Gumay Lo Sikabel Shem Adeshekus. Rashi says Kitar Gumay. Rashi over here is writing a sefer on Unkelus. Kitar Gumay. Like the Targum. Lo Sikabel Shem Adeshekus. Do not accept. Rashi Taitis Lo Sisa, they mean do not accept. Does not say don't speak. It means don't be a listener. Lo Sikabel Shem Adeshekus. What does that mean? A shema. Shema means a reputation. Okay. Ashara lemakabo lashon hara. This is a prohibition to accept lashon hara. Uladayon number two. There's a second lacha. Shalo yishma divrei bal din. Another completely unrelated halacha that a dayon should not accept the words. Listen to the complaint of the bal din. Ad shayavoy bal din chaderoy, until the other person comes there to say his piece. Now that's a tremendous chiddush. Think about it logically. What difference does it make? You go and you hear one. There are two litigants. You have a court case, and this person has been selected to be the judge. So there are two sides. There are two sides to the story. You ever read a Mishpacha magazine? I think the people like this the best. What is it called? It's called. I don't remember what it's called. There's a column in Mishpacha magazine. It appears. It's not every week. It's every 2 weeks, maybe every 3 weeks. It's really really good. It's whoever did it. It's really good. It's basically a story. It's a fictional story. It's a fictional story where there are two sides. Maybe it's not fictional. I don't know. There are two sides of an issue presented. It's really good. It's like you have a person. The same exact thing, exactly what happened, is mentioned from two perspectives. It's a story. I haven't read in a very long these columns. I don't have time. It's very hard to find time to do anything today. But whenever I read it, I really like it. It's really good. It's better than a lot of these books. It's pretty long. It's not a short piece. They present a situation, and it's presented from two completely different perspectives. Completely different perspectives. And it's done very well. And when you read that story, then it always generates letters. It's a good feeder for people to react, and the people write in, and they say they're there. And when you read that, you get a taste of life. There is always another side to the story. You have your perspective, and there's another side to the story. So a dayan is going to judge. He's the judge. There are two sides. There's an issue. There are two sides. Reuven has his side of the story, and Shimon has his side of the story, and they present legal arguments why each one is correct, both halachically and morally. And the dayan has to decide. Fine. So what is so terrible? What is so terrible if the dayan goes into his chambers and listens to Reuven present his side of the story? Alone. Levad. And then goes out, and then Shimon comes into the dayan, and Shimon presents his side of the story. What's so terrible? That's what they do in the magazine. Okay, you're the dying. When you listen to the magazine, you read the article. You're the dying. You know you're hearing. It's interesting. When people they listen to the two sides of the stories. It generates a lot of letters because people listen to the two sides and they either agree with one side or the other side, and they're very dismissive of the other side. It's interesting to hear both sides of the point. When you read these articles, these stories, the other side is not there. So it's a davar nifla, the halacha, is that a dayan is not allowed to listen to one side of the story unless the other person who has the other side of the story is present. What's the psychology behind that? Why? Why is a dayan not allowed to hear one of the litigants to present this case when the other litigant is not present? Obviously, there's a very deep psychology behind this. It's l'chora, you would say, is that the speaker, the one who is presenting his side of the story, is not going to lie or will be embarrassed to lie because the other person is present. Is that the pshat? Or is the pshat that the judge, when he's listening to the one side of the story, when he is aware in front of his face is the other person who's going to suffer if everything that this fellow says is true, is not going to take it as serious as if he would be all alone. It's incredible. It's an incredible concept. The Torah is Yoyret L'Soif Daitoy Shaladam. The Torah wants the judge to be objective. And part of the technique that the Torah HaKadosh uses to be objective is not to allow a litigant to present his situation without the other person present, the Baldin present. It's a hard thing to do, by the way. Okay, that's what it says. That's what Rashi says, and I think the depth of understanding of this concept is very profound. And by the Goyim, I don't think they understand this. They certainly don't practice this. And even today in the court system today, I don't know. It's the halacha. I can't. You know, you have to do this, but it's not always practical to do this. So it says over here. Nachum Ol Rashi, it's a very powerful Rashi. Kedar Guma Lois Sekabel Shema De Sheker As Hara LeMakabel Lashon Hara. Number one, number two, Ladayon. Number two, Ladayon Shlo Yishma Divrei Bal Din Ad Sheyovoy Bal Din Chaveroy. Okay, next. Al Toshe Is Yotcham Rashi. The second half of the pasuk, which seemingly has nothing to do with the first half of the pasuk, says, "Do not set." Yehinim Rasha Hatoyin Es Chaveroy Tviya Sheker. A person has a complaint. Es chaveroi tviya sheker shehiv tichohu liyois lo eight chomos. Hatoin es chaveroi tviya sheker shetivu liyois eight chomos. A person comes to his friend and says, "Do me, I want you to do a favor. Are you my friend? If you're my friend, you're going to do me a favor. You're going to go and you're going to join me. You're going to be a false witness. I want you to come to court and I want you to testify a lie. Testify that Reuven owes me $100. Don't do that. Do not listen to your friend when he comes to you and he demands from you, "You're my friend, you owe me. I've been good to you. I was a good friend my whole life to you. I need your help now. I want you to come to court, just a white lie, and testify that Reuven owes me $100. This is called an eid chamas. And why is it chamas? What is the violence? Chamas only means violence. Rashiva, what does chamas mean? He doesn't want to go. He wants to go. Rashiva over here. A mea simcha kahn. Why? What is an eid chamas? I don't know. Okay, let's see what it says in the Targum. Targum over here says, Pasuk Aleph. Lo sekabel shema deshkar. It says in the Targum, do not accept shema deshkar lo tishavei yudach im chayava with a guilty person. Lemehevei lay to be for hid a sehid, a witness that is shakar. Ooh, look at that. Eight chamas. Very, very interesting. The Targum, he translates the word chamas as sheker. He does not translate the word chamas, which ordinarily means it means violence. Let's see what it says over here in the commentator. The commentator Pasuk Aleph says, "Losikabel tisa ladas unkelishu l'shoin kabbalah." The word tisa means to accept. Kemashakasav Radak Shakol Hahoi Roy Shall Sherish Nasahe Nanasia Vanatila. It means to carry and accept. Aval Ramban Vihorav Ibn Ezra Perishu al Derchab Shadlo Si Sushlo Yiso al Sifasov. I'm sorry. Okay. We have here a machloikis between Rashi and Unkelus on his side up against who? The Ibn Ezra and the Ramban. And now we can appreciate where Rashi makes this point. See, we see this is a new dimension which I didn't appreciate until now. I mean, I appreciate it, but there is a new knach in the thesis, in the sefer we're going to write one day on the Ramban. Problem is, I don't write anything down, so it's on the tapes, and I don't have patience to ever listen to the tapes. So I don't know how I'm going to remember all these things. I really have to write these things down. It's really terrible. Okay, but over here, I think there's a new knach now. Came to this witness is when the Targum says Kitargumai, when Raj is Kitargumai, why is Raj saying Kitargumai? So I always tell you many, many times, over and over again, is that Rashi is coming either to attack Unkelus or to embellish Unkelus. But I want to suggest to you that Rashi, in the back of his mind, knows of all of the other Perushim. Even though Rashi was before the Ramban, and Rashi was before the Ibn Ezra, but Rashi is aware that there's another interpretation for Lo Sisa. Lo Sisa means don't carry. So over here the Ramban says Lo Sisa means don't carry on your lips a bad word. And according to the commentator, he wanted that according to the Ramban, the prohibition of this pasuk is not a prohibition not to listen to Lashon Hara. It's a prohibition not to speak Lashon Hara. There's a fundamental difference between Rashi and the Ramban and Ibn Ezra, is the prohibition of the pasuk, do not listen or do not speak. According to the Ramban, Lo Sisa means don't carry on your lips. Sisa means to carry. What do you carry? Your lips. Don't carry on your lips through the Kwecha Dibur a bad report. Don't speak. Rashi says, like the Targum, Lo Sikabel, the word Sisa means to carry. Very different translation of the word. And that means, what do you mean don't carry? Oh no, these kids here, they're very good at making noise, moving the chairs back and forth, banging on the table. Kid, it's too late to discipline these kids. It's already, if you don't do it when they're 3 years old, forget it. Lo sisa shemashav, don't, I have to go over them and tie them down. I have to come bring rope here and tie them down. We'll call the police for me. Lo sisa shemashav, don't accept the fortune. I have a friend, he's my age. He gives it daf yomi shir. I had to ask another friend that I know, tell me, I need to write something for him. Tell me all about him. Tell me. Now, my friend, he's married. He has grandchildren already. He has a big family. And the first thing he says to me is, tell me about him. What do you know about him? He says to me, he hates children. He can't stand children. He can't. What do you mean? He has a lot of children. He has Kenai and Hara, a whole big family. He has grandchildren. He hates children. He cannot deal with them. Okay. So, Lo Sisa Shema. I'm sorry. I believe the sound is low. Say it again.
They make
a lot of noise. Noise pollution. Okay. So Lo Sisa Shema Shav, do not speak Lashon. The Unkelus says, do not accept. So, here's the point I want to make. When Rashi says Kitargumai, why is Rashi saying Kitargumai? What's the difference in pshat? But I think when Rashi says kitagumoy, Rashi is coming to reject other popular interpretations of this pasuk. Rashi, even though Rashi came before the Ramban, before the Ibn Ezra, we don't have on record anyone saying the pshat of the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra, which means don't speak Lashon Hara, but Rashi is aware of that interpretation. Because they're not the only ones, they're the only ones who put it in writing. The Ramban and Ibn Ezra are the only ones who put that interpretation in writing, that it means do not carry on your lips, don't speak Lashon Hara. But certainly, in the lifetime of Rashi, there were other great people who would interpret the pasuk to mean do not speak Lashon Hara. Rashi looks in the Unkelus and he sees Unkelus means do not listen, do not accept slander. So Rashi says yes, kitargumai. When Rashi says kitargumai, Rashi is coming to make, is it's a rejection statement. Rashi is saying that the correct pshat in the pasuk is like the Unkelus, which automatically means I am aware, I am cognizant of the other possibilities of this pasuk, and specifically what we just learned in the Ramban and in the Ibn Ezra. And I want you to, everyone to know that Unkelus did an excellent job this time, where he translated the pasuk, do not accept Lashon Hara, versus do not speak Lashon Hara. Unkelus, for once, he got it right.
Here I have a comment. Rashi,
because there is another pasuk in the Leviticus, do not slander among your people. So Rashi says that's not to speak.
Ah, so here means don't accept.
Okay, fits in, fits in. Amen. How come you never hear a speaker? You know, you listen to these, you go online, all the speakers, they get up by the podium and make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem. How come you never hear a speaker who gets up to the podium when he says, Asher Yotzach? I have to step out for a moment, please. Come back. Baruch atah Hashem. Who do you hear from? A public speaker on tourney time? Never.
I go all the time at weddings. I hear always
the you could write a book. They should write a book. The caterers can write a book on all of the stories, the horror stories and mistakes that happen. Really, they can mamish the guy there. You go to certain wedding halls. There's a guy, that's his job. He knows either caterer or one of the assistants. Every single night, the whole year, if he works there for years, he does weddings. And every wedding, something goes wrong. You know, nothing goes perfect under the chuppah. Could you imagine he could write a mamish, a thick book of all the crazy things that go on that happen under the chuppah? The best one is the guy gets up and he goes, Baruch atah Hashem, Kedem Milchlam, Boy Rei Pri Agofen, and he drinks it. You can imagine what goes on. There's always something funny that happens. Always crazy things that happen there. Okay. Lo sisa shem ashav. So we hear kitargumoy, he's coming to reject. Fine. Now, let's go then. The next part of the pasuk says, what does it mean a shem ashav? A shema dishkar. Shemua shel sheker. Kavanasa ashoilam kabal oshon hara. Uladayun. Now, problem here is, this is the first thing you learn in Lashon Hara. The first thing they teach you when you learn Hilchas Lashon Hara is, Lashon Hara is MS. The translation of Lashon Hara, it's MS. It's no one's business, but it's true. If it's not true, that's called Motzi Shem Ra. So whenever we talk about Lashon Hara, it means it's true. I'm going to tell you something that's true. This person, you know, and if there's no purpose, if it's little Ellis, you want to do a shidduch with him, okay, you want to go marry his daughter, you want to go marry him, you got to know. But many times people have problems in their life, and it's not none of your business. It's none of your business. So when are you going to be telling someone else this person's business? What is it relevant to you? So here when it says, those sisa, do not accept shema shav, that means not Lashon Hara, Motzi Shem Ra, lies. Someone tells you outright lies. Because if it's true, it's not called Sheker. Over here, it's time over here, says, Lo Yisakabal Shema Dishkar, falsehood. Rashi said, "Lois the kabel shema de sheker asar lemekabel." So I don't know how you learn Rashi. How do you learn Rashi? Asar lemekabel loshon hara. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the term loshon hara could be that I'm mistaken. Maybe the term loshon hara is a general term, which includes, it's an umbrella term, which includes three things: loshon hara, motzi shem ra, and rechilus. What is rechilus? Rechilus is the best. Rechilus is when someone tells you loshon hara, and you go back and you tell the victim, "Do you know what this guy said about you?" That's the worst. Rechilus is worse. It's the worst. Ruvain tells Shimon, "I want to tell you something about Levi. Levi is, he eats non-kosher. Okay, Levi eats non-kosher." And then Shimon goes to Levi, and it's, "Levi, do you know what Ruvain told me? Ruvain told me that you eat non-kosher." So now what happens? Levi hates Ruvain. That's the worst. Rechilus is really part two of Lashon Hara. First is Lashon Hara. Ruvain slanders Levi. Then Levi goes, and Ruvain slanders Levi to Shimon. And then it's part two. But that's Lashon Hara. Ruvain tells Shimon something bad about Levi. Part two. Shimon goes to Levi and says, "Levi, do you know what Ruvain told me? He told me that you don't keep kosher." So Levi, it's not true, or it is true. It's none of your business. And now Levi has an intense hatred for Ruvain. That part too is called Rechilus. Now I think all of those three parts are all really part of a package of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is a catch-all term which includes three different categories: Lashon Hara, Motzi Shem Ra, and Rechilus. Okay, so let's see over here. Yeah. So over here, he says, let's see, so Shmuel shall shaker. So look at Lashon Hara. The guy in Shlo Yishma Divrei Baal Din Ad She Yavoi Baal Din Chaver. Over here, in the comment, it says, because of Yanachatana, Shug Lashon Shav, the Lashon Akasov, he called Dibro Hanimas Vanitav Afal Pishu Hu Emes. Harayu Shek Shav. Oh wow, he's addressing this concept. Harayu Shav Shek Lamash Ein Bei Mamish VYisoid. The Ein Boy Ki Imra Kolosh Nakasev Ashelo Nasa Lashav Nafshoy. The Akavano Linyanim Roim Adkan the Yuvan Belosh Nakasev Gamasar Sadayin. Mashkasev Rashi Shamashmiya Taanoisav Shlodof Baldin Haver Ein Bush Midaber Sheker. Oh wow. Okay, so we think of here very soon. I ask you the question: what's the psychology? What is the psychology of why you're not allowed? You're not allowed to say to a dayan your arguments in the absence of the baldin. So Rashi, this the commentary over here, is saying it's because you're going to lie. You're going to embellish what really happened. If you go to a dayan and you tell him your side of the story in the absence of the other person, there's a tendency for the person that presents his side of the story to embellish and exaggerate and lie. If the other baldin is present, he will be embarrassed to say outright blatant lies. So that's why it's called over here losisa shema shav. Do not accept lies, which means it's automatic. It's a given. If you're gonna hear the argument of the litigant without the other litigant being there, it is a guarantee that litigant number one, without litigant number two, is going to tell the dayan outright lies. So the dayan should not listen to the lies. Now here comes an afkin. According to the first interpretation, when talking about lashon hara, sheker, it is to be translated loosely. It's not mamish sheker, because most of lashon hara is truth, is the truth. However, so why is it called sheker? It's sheker, not in its purest sense, but it's not going to lead to anything good. I don't have a good answer. I don't have a good answer because, again, like I said, Lashon Hara generally is not a lie. Lashon Hara generally is true. Maybe you want to say, maybe there's a chiddush, you want to say, is it just like when it comes to a dayan is not allowed to listen to the argument of the Baal Din without the presence of the other Baal Din, because when the litigant presents his side of the story, probably 90% of what he's going to say is true. But it's inevitable that if the other litigant is not present, he's going to embellish his case and add a couple of white lies, some lies. So perhaps we can suggest is that when the person speaks Lashon Hara and you say, I want to tell you something about this guy. You know this guy over here in the shul over here? At home, he keeps non-kosher. Now, that's true, but it's not 100% true. It's an embellishment. Who says not kosher? The heksher is not a good heksher. Whenever a person says Lashon Hara, slander, even though the essence of Lashon Hara is true, there's always a little bit more that's added, embellishment, that's a lie. So every time a person speaks Lashon Hara, he's really saying also he is adding additional details to the truth, which usually are lies. And how do you know that? Why am I saying that? Because we just don't know this, when it comes to a dayan, he's not allowed to listen to the complaint of a litigant unless the other litigant is present, because there's a suspicion when you're going to tell me what happened, your side of the story, even though what you're going to tell me over here is going to be 90% true, there's going to be a couple of lies. And in order to weed out those lies, it is absolutely necessary that the other Baal Din come and be present to hold you back from lying. We need the other Baal Din to be here. So too, when a person says about his friend Lashon Hara, even though most 90% of what he's saying is true, which is forbidden in and of itself, you're not allowed to do that, but there's also going to be an additional lie that's going to come along with the Lashon Hara. Perhaps that could be an explanation of why the Pasuk is calling Lashon Hara, we're calling it a lie. Now, the truth though is, the Mefarsh over here, he says, it does not say the word lie in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says the word shav. Okay, it says here the word shav, and shav, we are here interpreting the word shav as a lie, but it really just means it has no purpose. It's empty. When a person accepts Lashon Hara, he's engaging in activity that is worthless. Okay, that's a chiddush. Okay, let's now the next part of the Pasuk is do not go and be... If a friend says to a person, do me a favor, someone says to his friend, I want you to do me a favor and to go to court and lie. So that's the second name of the Pasuk. Al toshes yotcha im rosh liyos et chamas. So over here, the Targum just says very simply, do not lo tishave yedoch im chayavo lemhevi lei sehid shakar. So over here, what does it say over here in the commentator? Sohid shakar rotzlam nikra et chamas al shem soifa. Shiroitza lachmois an nidoin v'chein le'el Targum losh nakosu lufi asiba shagarma ha'toysa. So he's asking the question that he asked you. How does the word chamas relate to the word sheker? The word chamas means theft, and sheker means a lie. So he explains here in the commentary is that through the lie, you steal. By saying a lie, you're going to be able to steal the money from the litigant. All right, let's now go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk says, "Lo si'ach achrei ram l'ro'is." Do not follow the majority.
Everything that chamas says is a lie.
It's true. That's true. That's indeed. Okay, next. Lo siya achre rabim l'ro'os. Do not follow the majority l'ro'os. V'lo sane al riv. And do not answer to a quarrel lintois achre rabim lehatois. Now, what do those words mean? Pasuk Beis and Rashi. Lo siya, long Rashi here. very long Rashi. Okay, let's go one thing at a time. In this pasuk, there are many midrashim, which means that this is a very difficult pasuk. Midrashei chachmei. Now you have to appreciate when Rashi says midrashei, this does not mean agoda. Okay, medrash means there are many interpretations of what this pasuk means, because there's medrash halacha and there's medrash agoda. Today we've been brainwashed to think that the word medrash means medrash agoda. Every time you hear the word medrash, you think of agoda, but that's not correct. When Chazal used the term medrash, it usually refers to halacha, the mechilta. This Parashas Mishpatim is expounded by what's called the Mechilta, and Rashi in fact quotes the Mechilta very, very often, and the Mechilta tells you all of the halachic drashas. So Rashi right off the bat says that this pasuk is subject to the interpretation. There are many different interpretations. Aval ein lashon hamikra miyushev bochem al oif nov. However, many of these drashas do not fit well into the simple translation of the pasuk. The pasuk is meant to be understood in a very simple fashion, and many of the midrashim do not conform to the midrashim. Mikan darshu, and now Rashi is now, after he makes that statement, Rashi goes on to tell you his interpretation, which is based upon very selective midrashim. Number one, Mikan darshu she'ein matin l'choiva b'achros dayan echad. You have a court of 23 judges. So you have 23 judges, what could you have? You can have 12 on one side and 11 on the other side. Let's say you have a court case. Is this person guilty or innocent? Guilty. So what is the rule? The rule is you have to follow the majority. What is the majority? So let's say he's on death row, he killed a person. We want to know if there's enough evidence to execute a person. 12 judges decide that he's guilty. He's chayiv misa. 11 judges decide he's innocent. Do we put this fellow to death? The answer is no. You cannot put a person to death on a majority of one. You need to have a majority of at least two, which means you're going to have to have at least 13 judges. If you have, you have 23 judges. So you can break that down into 12 and 11. No. It has to be 13, which is then going to turn really into 3 against 1. Because if you can have 12 versus 11, and you need one of the guy from the other side of the aisle to come across the aisle, it's going to be 13 against 10. So the magic number, the number 13. Why is 13 a very bad number in the world? Because you need 13 people to kill someone. The elevator doesn't have the 13 in the elevator. There's no 13. Why? It's crazy. Why is there no 13 in an elevator? Superstitious? In Israel, there's no 13 in the elevator? Is that true? Mayor, is that true? There aren't too many buildings in Israel that have 13 floors. Okay, in America, is that true in America, Mayor? There are no buildings that have the number 13. The 13th floor doesn't exist in the buildings in America? That's not really true. And the co-ops on the Lower East Side, they have 13. I think they have. I don't remember. I don't know. But the number 13, you need 13 dayanim to kill a human being. Oh, but there's a bezin of 23. No. This pasuk tells us a majority of one person is insufficient. Yesh migazeh mikan dosh ein matin l'choiva b'achroz dayon echad. The soif amikru darsh, that's the first part of the pasuk. Losia acharei rabim liraos. You may not follow a simple majority of one for a decision that will lead to death of evil. Death is evil. The next part of the pasuk says, the soif amikru darshu acharei rabim lahatois. What does that mean? Shem yesh shnayim nechayvin yoy salam azakin hita hadin alpiam lechayva. But then the pasuk says, "Acharei v'loisane al rivu, losi acharei ram lerois, v'loisane." Wait, what do you mean? Come on. Mikan shadar she'ein matin l'choiva be'achros dayun echad. One dayun is not sufficient. V'sev mikro darshu acharei rabim lahatois. We go to the end of the pasuk. You need to have a majority. What's a rabim? A rabim means at least two judges. Now, if you have at least two judges, you're automatically going to have three judges, because you have 23 dayanim. So you need to have, and 23 judges. You have to have at least. If you break it down, am I doing the numbers wrong? If you break it down into 12 and 11, so that's 23. So you have to have at least one more. So that's going to make it until 13 verse 10. So yeah, that's a rabbim. That's more than one. A rabbim can mean two or three. It's more than one. Achiram lahatash im yesh shnai mechayvim yosem and amzakin, then hatea din al piyam lechayva. Uvedine nefosh akosim medaber. The emtsa mikra darshu loisan al riv al raf. Don't disagree with the Rosh Bezdin. She'ein cholkim al mufla. Do not disagree with al mufla sheba Bezdin, the senior member of the court. Lefichah. Therefore, what do you mean? If everyone is giving their opinion, and the senior member of the court, the Av Bezdin, gives his opinion, not let it go disagree, how will you ever come to a situation where there's a decision? Very simple. The senior judge is the last one to issue his decision. Because if the senior judge, the Av Bezdin, the chief justice, issues his decision first, no one in the court is allowed to disagree with him. So therefore, the technique is, everyone in the court issues their decision, and the senior judge is last. Okay, so far, what he has done over here is, he's taken this pasuk, according to the parish of Rashi, he's told us, number one, that there are many interpretations which he is not satisfied with. And what he prefers is to take this pasuk and to break it into three parts. The first part is losi achere rabim liros. Two is insufficient for murder. The end of the... One is insufficient. Then skip the middle. Skip the middle. Jump to the end of the pasuk. Achere rabim lahatos. You have to have at least two. And then in the middle of the pasuk where it says v'loisane al riv lintos means do not speak up against the Rav. Riv means a quarrel, but the interpretation means a rabbi, a Rav, the great one, which is telling us that when the judges give their decision, you have to start with the younger judges, the ones that are the new judges, because they are not allowed to speak up against the senior judge. Okay, that's quite a cut and paste job here. You're taking this pasuk, you're cutting it up into three parts. You're connecting the first part with the third part. And the first and the third part basically is repetitious, because once you know the first part, automatically you know the third part. But that's what we're doing. And then in the middle, you're making a whole new halacha. And you're telling me in the middle, when it says the word riv, it doesn't mean any quarrel. It means the senior judge. Okay, that's how we learn Shah on the pasuk. Okay. Then he goes on to say, "Ulefi divi Rabbi Seinu, according to Rabbi Seinu, kach pesha mikra, lo siya achre ram leroys lechayv misa b'shvil dayin echad sheyirbu mechayv me'al hamazakin." He's explaining what he just said. "Lesan al Rav lintois midvar v'lefi shuchas ar yud darshu boikein." Okay, he's just repeating what he just said. We derive this only when it comes to deciding death is one dayan insufficient. But if they want to make a decision that he's an innocent man, one is okay. The unculus tier game, then he goes to unculus. Which means a different interpretation entirely. If someone asks you to teach them something, do not hold back. We learned this today in the Sefer Hasidim. If someone comes to make a request to teach you something, don't hold back. Okay, Losana lintas letzad echad ulasalik atzchem in arif. Ella have a done oisaylamit. If a person asks you a question to make a decision, don't corrupt the judgment. Answer him the emes. Vani oimer liyasha loyfanav kushuv bekach b'shun neigrash says omshat. Lotiach le'ram le'ois imrisa rishon matan mishpat loy tsoymar hoil v'ramim ani hini noted achreim. If society is corrupt and everyone over here is doing terrible things, don't say, listen, if that's the way the world works, if you can't beat them, join them, don't do that. Tell them the truth. The koiler yichei toli b'tzav harabim. And the koiler means the chains or the shackles. The people, the corrupt judges, they will get what they deserve. The day will come when justice will be served to the justices. When the justices are corrupt. I listened to a clip today. They were interrogating, I don't even know what his name is, the head of the securities exchange. I don't even know what that is. Stock market, they control a lot of things. And the guy, the senator, was basically telling him, you know, here in Congress, we're darshing the whole day about the weaponization of the Justice Department. But you're just as bad. And he starts rattling off a whole list of averos of what they've done to Trump, the security exchange, and all the people they hired, and all the things that they're doing. He's saying, just like we have incredible corruption in the Justice Department, this unprecedented corruption in your position, in the head of the Securities Exchange, the United States of America, regarding what the policies that you're making and what you've done. And he rattled off a whole long list of things. So Rashi over here says, this is international, this is on television, is telling us over here is the koilar will be put on the neck of the guilty people. Eventually, Hashem is in charge. Hashem will serve justice to corrupt people. All right, let's stop over here. Maybe we'll review this again tomorrow. Thank you, Rabbi Lazer, very much for coming and learning with me. Mayor, thank